Okay, so Bezrat Hashem, we'll see today why you can be doicha isur of shekel for shalom. Like, well, what does that mean? It means that whenever there's shalom, so I can do whatever I want. Like, how many averos can I do for shalom? Like, only shekel, and if shekel, so why dafka shekel? And okay, so we've seen the Shuta Ramah that sounded like that you could be matir mipnei shalom. Avitzlak Berkovitz said that the Shuta Ramah that we've seen last week, it's not for sure that Ramah wrote it. Maybe it's someone else. He's not sure. There's no signature of the Ramah in the Tshuva. I don't know what that means. But maybe Take, it's not the Ramah. So, the Ramah, and over there, the Ramah said, I'll prove to you that it's okay to do a veirois for the sake of Shalom. How do I see that? Because it says, if an Isha is a Saito, becomes a Saito, so it says her husband can't be with her until he takes her to the Beis HaMikdosh, they erase Hashem's name, she drinks the water, and if nothing happens, so they can be back together. So you see, for Shalom, for husband, a Shalom between a husband and wife, Hashem allows his name to be erased. You see, an Aveiro can be...
which is normally an issue.
Which is normally a tremendous, big issue to erase Hashem's name. Indeed, for Shalom, it's Mutal. So the thing is like this. There's a different Tshuva in the Shuta Ramah, in Simon 100 Ois Yud, where the Ramah says like this. Rav Haigon says, if a person swore he took a Shavua, he's going to divorce his wife. He made a Shavua. So he said, so you will think, you know, Shalom, you know, you take away the Yisurim, so forget the Shavua, don't divorce her, it's all okay. So he says, no, he has to divorce her. There's no choice, he has to divorce her. And now, but the question pops up, right? What about what we just learned? Hashem says, you erase my name, Shenichta Bekdusho, for Bimati Risha Bailo. Okay, so the guy swore, so who cares? So he says, Achilik, I'll tell you, he says, Achilik is. He says these words, Haloi Kashio, Deha Moitzi Midei Sofek, Ve Midei Yisuva. This is basically his answer. So over here, it takes using Hashem's name take out from the Sofek and from the Isu. That's why it's Muto. And over here, there's an Isu by Saito. Yeah, over here by Saito. Okay. Over here, it's already by the person which divorced. But over here, by divorce, Hashem says, Leitisa, Sem Hashem Lekecha Lashav, and there's no way out. The person swore he has to will divorce. He needs a divorce. So now, came the person who asked the Ramah a great question. We learned, it was the case with Achitofel, that they picked up the cheres, which was blocking the water, and the water kept coming up and up and up, and David HaMelech says, anyone knows if you can do it or not. So Achitofel says, I have a kava choyma. Yeah, making a long story short, Achitofel says, I have a kava choyma. If, to be matir and isha for bylaw, Hashem said, you can erase my name, so for sure, to save the whole world, you can erase Hashem's name. Says if he says it over there, there's no Isu altogether. To erase Hashem's name, how can you learn from it to other things? That was the question. So the Ramah says, I'll tell you the explanation. He says that since erasing Hashem's name in this case comes to take out from a Sofek and from an Isu, Hashem said that this is not called erasing Hashem's name for no reason. It says in the Torah, don't erase Hashem's name. It says, Ibadetem et Shmom, erase the Avodah Zarah name, Loitasum ken Hashem Elokeichem. So therefore, only if you do it in a way of destroying for no reason, then it's also, if there's a purpose, so then it becomes Mutal. So basically, you can't learn from here to anything else besides erasing Hashem's name. So Achitofel learned from here to erasing Hashem's name for saving the world, which is clear that it's going to be muto, because we see erasing Hashem's name is not that trouble if it's done for a purpose. Then it's muto. Okay. Okay. But the problem is, Sheker is not erasing Hashem's name. Sheker, we learned, it's a different avera, it's called Midvar Sheker Tirchak. And we see many places in Shas that Sheker was used by big people for a sake of Shalom or for something else. The Gemara Mesachim, we'll just go quickly through the story. The Gemara Mesachim was the guy that said, Oh, you Jews say that a goy can't eat from your Pesach? I go eat every year from the best part. So he says, oh, so he tells you, you eat from the best part? So they give you from the aliyah, the aliyah is the tail. And the tail goes in the mizbeah. And the tail goes in the mizbeah. Say, what, you get from the tail? So the guy said, oh, they don't give me from the tail. So when I asked him for the tail, I said, they'll give it to you. So the guy went, he asked for the tail. So why, he doesn't know the tail goes on the mizbeah. They check what happened, they found he's a guy, and they took care of him. So that one example, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteila used shekel to cash his goy. Okay? Another place is in Yoimo, coming soon in Daf Yoimi, the Gemara says that Mayim Achonim Hogu Es HaNefesh, there was a guy that two Tanoim gave him their money to wash, they came back for the money, says, I don't know what you're talking about. So they saw him, he walked outside, and he had on his beard some leftovers from his meal. So they went to his wife and they told him, your husband said he should give us our money, and he gave us a simon that he should believe us that he really wants to give us the money, that he ate for lunch this and this. So she gave them the money, he came back, got so upset, he killed her. So you see, they used shekel to get their money back.
Right.
Okay? Another place we see, it says in the Mishnah, that if a person, let's say, he got a worker to do for him something, that if he's going to stop in the middle, he's going to lose a lot of money. Or the band of the wedding say, you know, we're not going to play in your wedding tonight unless you give us double. So you can say, okay, I'll give you double. At the end, just pay him whatever you agreed in the beginning. So you see, you can use shekel to save yourself from a money loss. Another place is Yevamos. The one person that he wanted to be miyavim, someone, Yevamo, and it wasn't the right thing to do, for whatever reasons that the Gemara had over there. So they told him, listen, we'll give you a lot of money if you'll give her chalitza. So he gave her chalitza, and then they said, nothing talking, saying, we don't owe you money for anything. We just said, so you'll give her chalitza. Okay. So you see, in the Gemara there brings another case, if a person is running away from the jail. Or let's say he's running away from, I don't know, from goyim. Someone is chasing him. So he tells a taxi driver, take me quickly. Taxi driver said, but someone already ordered me. He says, you know what, I'll pay you $1 million. Take me. So the taxi driver takes him. He pays the regular price at the end. Okay? So for a person to save himself, he can't tell him, okay, you'll do it for free, but he'll pay him the regular price. Another, so that there's other explanations also. And on top of everything, one of our fathers used lying to get the brochas, right? This was Yaakov Avinu with Esau. He got the brochas. How can a person lie to get the brocha and the Yehusha and all the things? How is it possible? And Yaakov is Midas Emes, right? He's an Emes LeYaakov. So what's going on over here? Okay, so until here is the question. Now let's start working on the answer. So the answer is like this. There's a Sefer Emes LeYaakov of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he explains the case of Yaakov Avinu. He explains what's going on there. And he starts like this. He says, Chazal called the Ovois Yeshol. Right? Sefer Bereshit is called Sefer HaYoshol. So it speaks about the Ovois are Yeshorim. What does it mean, Yeshorim? Yeshorim means that when Hashem created the Odom, it says, I like him also as Odom Yoshol. Hashem created the person straight. And a person which is will just go with the way Hashem created him, he would live in the right way, which is means in the way of Torah. And they were so perfectly straight that everything which is in Torah that we would not think on our own, for example, tefillin. I don't think if I would live for 1,000 years I would come up with tefillin. Well, I wanted to put tefillin on and exactly the boxes and everything, but they were so straight that they figured everything out on their own, that this is the right thing to do and this is how things should be done. So he says, so how is it possible that Yaakov Avinu did something so far from being Yashuv and he went and took the brachas from his brother? So he said, but from here, whenever you have a kashio and something like that, so you understand that it's not a kashio, it comes to teach you something fundamental about something that you didn't understand. So over here is emes. What is emes? The emes is, he says, I'll give you an example that you'll understand that saying emes cannot always be the right thing to do. He says, let's say, if a person is running away, so someone is chasing him to kill him, right? We don't need the police afterwards to lie about how that he's in the hospital and they want to find out. But he can be He can be there. He's in your house. He's hiding. And he's hiding under the bed. And the guy walks in. The guy with the gun. And he says, did you see anyone running away in here? So he says, yeah, no, I only said that. He's hiding under the bed. Right? So that's not going to be honest. That's not the right thing to do. Just picturing it. Like, So Monday that the person would say, I'm saying Emes. You know, I said yesterday, I told him I'll kill him. He'll do that. And he did that, so I have to kill him. You know, I said I only say Emes. So he says that sometimes a person could use Alma. This is the logic of mafia people. Yeah. They can manage to explain to you what they're doing is right. They're doing Emes. A lot of it, they have explanation. The only reason they don't sleep well is because they're scared that someone will do something to them. But they don't have any problem with what they did. They manage to feel it's the right thing. So he says for sure, a person sometimes can use ha'aroma to get what he needs. That's in the cloud. It says in the Tehillim, Vim ikesh tispato. So he says such type of ramot we find a few times by Yaakov Avinu, and that's okay. So. Lemaise, what comes out over here, that to use mirmo, to be menatzeach the ramai, is okay, and you can even say that that's mamish the emes. The emes is to get the right thing happening in the world, and if that's the way to do it, that's the way to do it. But the problem with that is what we've seen previously. We saw in the Gemara, for example, if your Rebbe comes and tells you, listen, you know I will not lie for $1 million. You know me for years, I wouldn't lie for anything. Now, someone owes me money, and I have another aid, so just come along with me, and you know the other guy will be scared, and he will admit that he owes me the money. Don't say anything, don't open your mouth. And it says over there, that's midbar shekel tilchak, you're not allowed to do it. So why are you not allowed to do it? More than that, the Gemara says if there's three people, and they lend someone money, they know they gave him the money. And now, so two of them can't come to base and say, we're the aiding for the Allah that he owes this guy, the third guy, the money. Because that's with Vashek HaTichot. So what's the difference? So the Rashba says that sometimes we say, Obidinish Dinan Anafshay means that sometimes if someone owes you money, you can come and get your money from him even if you'll have to beat him. Right? And hitting a Jew is an avera from the Torah. It says lo yoisi pen yoisi by giving lashes to a rasha. It says you can't add another lash. You can't hit a Jew for nothing. And over here, you see if you need to get your money out of the person, you're allowed to hit him. If that will help, right? So you're allowed to hit him to get your money from him. So he says, so how come? So what's the difference? So he says, so what's the difference between lying and hitting? They're both isul d'oraisa. If I'm allowed to hit, so let me lie also. So he basically says that there's the ways of the way a Torah set the judging system, and over there you're not allowed to lie to get your money through that. The Torah doesn't let you to lie to get your money through the judges. Through the judges, there's rules. Not even using like kumtin that two people will be aiding, they're saying the truth, but they can't be aiding because they are the lenders. You can't be an aid on something that belongs to you. So that the Torah doesn't allow. The Torah doesn't allow to do things in Beis Din to get things, to trick the Beis Din to rule for you. That the Torah doesn't allow. Okay. So now, I don't know if you guys understood that. Maybe it's the wrong Mare Mokoi. Or he asked, what's the problem when you guys got to the Arama, the Rosh Mishpah? You stand the Raya? No, I'm saying the Diuk, it sounds like that he gives one case and the Sma is talking about a different case. He asked a question like this. Okay, so he says like this. Adayin kosher. You see Adayin kosher? About Adayin kosher, like the middle in the Shuta Rashba, the middle paragraph about Adayin kosher. You see, he says in all the cases which have to do with the din itself, I understand why a person can't lie. But he says, when the Rebbe asked him, just come with me, you're going to be, as if the guy will think that you're my witness, and that will cause the guy to admit, why can't he just come with him? Because you're not going to do anything in the basin, you're not going to say anything, so what's the problem with that? That was the question. Okay? Hey, we need your help here. Do you understand? Because I don't understand what the raya he brings from the smach. So he says that there's no problem from the Rav's side, there's only a problem from the Talmid. The Talmid can't believe the Rav that the other guy is a Ramai. But he says, if the other guy is not lying, so he's not going to be scared. He's not going to be scared, he's going to swear. So then he brings the smach. The smach says like this. The Ramah says like this. Okay, let's see the Ramah. The Ramah says, the Afilo Omaloi, even if the Rebbe told the witness, come and stand with me, I have one witness, don't say anything, just he's going to be scared and he's going to admit, so you're not allowed to listen to him. Says that small. Why is that also? Because I'm Midbar Shekel Tirchak. And what's the problem? Because maybe because the guy's going to be scared, he's going to see Tuei Gimar coming and saying it, he's going to Yash Ve'imo Yanit Oshaloi Kedin Shaloho Yachayav Loi. The Nitzel will say, you know what? Now he's going to bring two Eidim, I owe him $1 million. You know what, maybe it's worth it for me to make a deal with him. That, you know what, I'll pay you $50,000 and you'll leave me alone. So really, by you coming, you're causing him to admit something that he doesn't need to admit. But that's talking when you're being the second ace. Right? So the guy will admit because he has no way out. His question was, from when you're only the one ace, what's the problem? The Gemara had that case also, but the Smah doesn't talk about this case. So he wants to be medayek from the Smah that sheyesh lachsho sheyoyze gam shelo kedin mechosho sheachen yesh eid mistom ha-shocha, that is not in the Smah. It could be elsewhere. It's a great deal. It's a great answer. I like the answer. Give it even to make it even Rav Berkovitz's answer. It's a nice answer. He's just saying a good thing. What's the problem? Why he can't come with the Rebbe? Because maybe this thing never happened. And the Rebbe is lying, you know, something happened to him. He has to marry off a daughter. He needs the money, right? So he's willing to do something, right? We hope that the Rebbe will never do such a thing. But he says, but you can't trust him to go come. And the problem is that if the other guy will see that an aid is coming, he's going to admit because he will think maybe I forgot. Okay, it's a good halacha. I don't know, I don't see it, it's not in the Smah. Maybe it's elsewhere, you guys can work on it tomorrow. What? But no, Yashbeimo Shaloi Kedin, that's talking when there's two aid. When two aidim come, the guy can't swear to get, there's no way out. He asked the guy if he knows this for sure it didn't happen, so he'll swear that he doesn't owe him the money. That was the question. So, but the Smah is talking when there's two aiding. When there's two aiding, the guy has no way out. Okay. Anyway, so the conclusion is like this. Okay, now we're coming to the bottom line of MS. Then we'll have just another two little small points. But the bottom line of MS is like this. He says if a person is Nishan and Mipnei HaSholim, that's not Shekel. Why? Because he says, every time fight, why do people fight? Why is this Machloike? Why do people fight? A person wanted to do this, his friend did that, and what happens? There's a misunderstanding, or not willing to understand each other, not to forgive each other. And Chazal call every sin a sin a sin. Right? Even though the people always have reason to hate each other, Chazal call it sinas kino. Why? Because, maybe I'll share with you guys a story first. The story was in the Chofetz Chaim thing they have on Tisha B'Av every year. I don't remember who said that, maybe a friend. He said a story that the one who was a kid, he played in class with his pencil. He was throwing his pencil up and down. And the Rebbe said, the teacher said, you know, stop playing with your pencil. So he said, so he didn't listen, he continued playing with his pencil. He said, I'm warning you last time, you better stop playing with your pencil. And the kids continued playing with his pencil. And so the Rebbe came, and took the pencil away and chopped the finger off from the kid's hand. So the parents came yelling to school, what did you do? You chopped the finger off from a kid for nothing. He said, what do you mean for nothing? He was playing with the pencil, bothering the whole class. He said, you give such a punishment for such a small thing, that's called for nothing. So he said that that's what Chat White Chazal called every sino, sino, sino. Because sino, it's a distraction in the Jewish nation. The whole Churban of Beis HaMikdash happened because of sino. So no matter what's the reason, it's always chinom, it's always for no reason. So that's what he's saying. He's saying that sino, it's always sino, chinom. Meaning that the true emes, that there's no reason for here to make fight between Jews. Whatever the case may be, it's not a good enough reason to make fight between Jews. So therefore, the sino is the shekel, and changing the dibu to stop it, that's bringing out the emes, which is the way things should be. That's similar to what we've seen by Yaakov Avinu, that when the right thing needs to happen, and so the way to get there is sometimes by maybe changing the emes a little, but the outcoming product has to be emes. So whenever there's a fight between two Jews, this is not shekel. There's no reason for a fight. Tremendous chiddush. Try practicing it at home. There's never a good enough reason for Jews to fight. Okay? So with that we conclude we finish this sugya being Meshanim Ifnei HaShoel. There's two more points. Can a person say, last night in Beis Tfilah, it was so packed, there was about 2,000 people here. So, not tonight. But, what? Well, like people say, there was a million people there. It was such a packed wedding, there was like a million. What? Okay, so are you allowed to say that? Or that's called shekel. So Dagan in the Dorin, a great Messiah, it says over there that saying such a thing, something that everyone, that's the way people talk. So that's not a problem of shekel.
You know what you're saying.
What?
You know you're saying it.
Yeah, everyone knows you're saying it as a good.
I told you a million times to clean up your room.
Right. But Rav Jacob always says, if you already told him a million times to clean the room and it doesn't help, maybe you should try a different approach. So, anyways,
that's my wife talking about me.
I told you a million times. Stop exaggerating, right? So that's okay. So I guess that's the way of talking. That's okay. The Seich Emet speaks about that it's very common, even in, so. It's very common to call everyone Hagoyen Hagodoyel and Harav Hagoyen, right? So they say that today, that the word Harav, just means to differentiate between a male and a female. Harav, to know that it's a male. So the Harav Hagoyen, they say everyone which collects tzedakah today is Harav Hagoyen. But he says that I didn't like it, says the Seich Emet. But he says, and my way was always just to call Hagoyen to the big Gedolim of our time. But he says, I saw from one of the Rabbanim, which is one of my friends, he said, a good Eitzah. He said, a good advice. What's the good advice? Write Goyen to everyone which is a Rav. Whoever is a Rav, call him Harav Hagoyen. Why? Because lack, if you don't call Harav HaGoyen in our generation, it's a lack of kavod. So in our generation, as we said, just saying Harav just means you're a male. Harav HaGoyen means that you learn some Torah sometimes. So with that, so that also comes according to the time and things, right? They call a person Rosh Kol B'nei HaGoylo, right? Rashki Bahag. Every person which is bigger than, right? So we have to know that today, especially these things, are not such a problem. It's not lying, that's the problem, that they make it so mezuzah that every guy that collects the milk becomes a Hava Goyen. But even if he's only 24 he didn't really have time to learn because he was working on collecting tzedakah a lot. It's a big thing, but it doesn't make you a Rav HaGoyin. A Goyin HaTzadik. Okay, so this is not, it's not a problem. If it was bothering you until now, so it should bother you now a little less. B'zal Hashem.